How's it going? This is Scott Fish. I co-host a podcast called the Commission Impossible Podcast with Ryan McDowell. We don't exactly go over player values or dynasty trades or potential or rankings or mock drafts, and we usually don't even have guests. We just like to talk about commissioner stuff, so that's what you get. You can learn about lots of different scoring systems, interesting rules, settings, how to set up your playoffs, how to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict. Russ and Brian are the names.
Trade I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 90 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. We are recording during the, what do we call this?
National Championship game.
So we are going to be highly distracted and just dreaming about what our 2020 and 2021 rookie picks are going to net us from this game, and because there's going to be a lot of it. But... did anything happen between last week and this week? Nothing happened between last week and this week, so we have nothing really. But
Derrick Henry ran over a few more guys.
Well, I just mean like human wise. I don't think anything. There was no holidays. There was no nothing important. So let's just keep it going. We have a guest today. We figured we'd dad it up here in a little bit. So we brought. We didn't buy. We do not buy people here on the Trade Addicts Podcast.
We're not against that, but no, I'm just kidding.
We personally
yes, we
don't
certainly
do it.
Are.
I was about to say we don't judge, but we absolutely will judge you if you tell us you buy people. We have brought on Matt Renshaw from the Dynasty Dads. So why don't you introduce yourself, Matt?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Matt Renshaw, part of the Dynasty Dads, at Renshaw Fantasy on Twitter. Been doing this shoot. I think this is off season three for us. Getting ready to ramp up off season guests and draft coverage and all that fun stuff. And starts with this national championship game tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun off season, I think, because man, there's just the rhetoric is kind of crazy about how deep this draft is. And now you see some people kind of backpedaling a little because of players, I should say, staying back in college for another year. But I mean, just as the grand picture, we're playing Dynasty. It doesn't need to just be about this year.
Right.
Like I was saying before, just these next two draft classes are going to be great. I mean, whether you want to say this year's better or next year's better, I don't care what you have to say.
How about both?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Why can't they just both be great? So, I mean, that's what we're going to ride with. So, Matt, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
Oh, shoot. I started in high school, so about 15 years now. Actually, I'm still in the first league that I was ever in. It's the only redraft league that I'm still in. I mean, now we're focused on Dynasty, but we've been doing that league since we all worked at a movie theater and started our own little fantasy league there, and it's just kind of grown. And I think we're at 8 kids from the group that started. Like, we've all had different... I mean, we got married, had kids. We've all been at each other's weddings. It's kind of fun to see the league grow from where we're in high school to now.
That's actually pretty awesome. I don't think anyone I went to high school with knew what football was. So, I mean, I could not really have. I mean, clearly that's a lie. I didn't like I didn't like football when I was in high school. I mean, that's the real answer. I was a really big hockey fan back then. So you've been playing fantasy football for a decently long time. So how long have you been playing Dynasty for?
Dynasty, I think I'm heading into year six. I always liked the idea of when we got in our redraft league, I was like, let's add a keeper. And they were like, everybody's been in a league where it's really hard to make changes. So we kind of started with that. And then we did three keepers, but there was kind of a time limit on how long you could keep them. And it expanded into a dynasty league. And me and my co-host Justin on Dynasty Dads are just, we knew we wanted to play dynasty and we knew it was going to take a little while to get everybody there. So it took us about 10 years, but it's the dynasty league's going strong.
See, that's actually good for you, man, because I did not wait for my friends because I knew that would take forever. We did the same thing. We started redraft, turned it into keeper. And then I started bringing up the idea of dynasty. Everyone's like, oh, I don't have the time for that. I can't handle that. And I'm just like, all right, so I'm going to go to this thing called the internet and try and find some people that do like doing this. And that's how I started it. And then I finally dragged my friends kicking and screaming into playing dynasty.
And now you've got a bunch of leagues that you host and.
And absolutely none of them are people I know from here.
Right.
It's all just internet people. So, oh, well, screw those guys. So I have seen some of your threads you post about your rebuild. So I know you make a lot of very good trades. So why don't you let us know some of your best, some of your worst trades?
I looked at two just from this year alone. My worst, I was making a run in one of my leagues and I had like three or four 2021s, and it's a single quarterback league, but the allure of Patrick Mahomes got me, and I traded two 2021s and Jimmy G for Mahomes in a one quarterback league, which on the surface you're like, eh, maybe it's not as bad as you think, but the picks turned out to be 101 and 105. So
that is rough.
Yeah. At the time I was like, okay, like I'm a championship contender. Like I'm adding a solid quarterback.
Did you win?
Go ahead, ask. Yes. Yes, I did.
It's fine.
It was
worth it. Right, right. So, yeah, I won, and I've got Mahomes for the next few years. I made a move. I traded a couple seconds to get Breeze, and Breeze kind of carried me through the first couple playoff games, and then Mahomes finished it off. So, yeah, it was good. That was probably my worst. My best from this year, I kind of feel bad for this. I got Alvin Kamara and Austin Hooper. And it cost me Le'Veon Bell, Greg Olsen, and Matt Breda.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's a good
one, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Did they like miss a line on that when
somebody was a big Bell fan?
Well, someone's a big Bell fan, and like running backs are hard to get in that league. So not that I talked him into it, but I just was like, I can give you – I had Zeke. This is going to sound really braggadocious, but I have Zeke, Dalvin Cook, Le'Veon Bell, Matt Breda. So I was like, okay, I can trade some depth and add Kamara. And Kamara was down. Kamara, this was before he blew up the last 2 weeks of the year. So, and Austin Hooper had just gotten hurt. So I tried to buy low on him, and I think I got it. But, yeah, I clearly got the better end of that deal.
First of all, the point of having or being on a podcast is to be braggadocious.
All right.
Like, why else are we on here unless everyone else know how good we are?
It's true.
So don't feel bad about that.
All right.
I don't really have a second of all, so just we're going to move on.
I will keep that in mind throughout the show.
What is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you are offering or evaluating a trade?
I don't always have to win trades. I feel like a lot of people try to focus on that. And, oh, I got to win. I got to get the better end of this deal. No, if you're getting guys you like, who cares? Like that's what's important, especially in dynasty. Like I'd rather play with the guys that I like and lose with the guys that I like than win every trade and tick every other owner off, because eventually owners go, this is the guy that wants to win every trade. He wants you to add something on every time. You don't always have to do that. You can get guys you like and guys that you're willing to play and you like watching. Who cares what a calculator says or kind of what everybody else thinks.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And see, the thing is, it's funny, like a lot of it when it comes to like trades that are people are saying, you know, I don't know which, like, I think it's even, but I don't know what to do. Or even when it comes to sit start decisions, it comes down to, you know, A, what makes you happy, or B, what would you rather live with?
Right.
You know, like, do you just want the guys on your team where you could be happy winning with them? Or do you just want something that, you know, you're going to begrudgingly get on your team? You don't think he's good, but he's been scoring points, and right, then be miserable after he stops scoring points.
I will say that I am an avid homer, and I'm a Cowboys fan. So I have at least one Cowboy, I think, on every roster. I have Zeke, and I've told owners in leagues where I have Zeke, don't even try. Like, you're going to be mad when I tell you no when you offer to overpay, because that's my guy. I was the same way with Dez Bryant. I rode him until he got cut. And I mean, it's just that I think that's part of the fun of Dynasty, is you can have your guys and you can keep them as long as you want, and they're your guys. And I feel like everybody has that.
Yeah. Why does that sound so familiar, Brian? we share a team in Trade Addict 7 where we have his bae, Saquon Barkley. And
he will never leave that team. And if he does, Trade Addict, now Brian know it.
you know, someone put out in the chat, you know, looking for RBs, looking to sell wide receivers. And we have a very running back heavy team, which is just weird. So, you know, I, of course, said, yo, hit us up. And he said, you know, who are you looking to sell? And I'm like, look, I'm going to be honest. Everybody's for sale. But if you want Saquon, it's going to have to be so, so disgusting of an overpay that you will just, you will feel so bad about yourself that you don't, like, that you'll just quit this league for Brian to say yes.
Correct.
And he's like, I got that and I'll pass.
Even then, I don't know. Would you take it? You know what I mean? Like,
oh my God. At a certain point, I would say, Brian, I don't care.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a trade like that, Russ, where you just continue to add and add and just make the guy say no to this stupid, ridiculous offer?
He's threatened to do it to me with Saquon Barkley numerous times.
One day I'm gonna win a championship in one of the Trade Addicts leagues. I swear one day I will. Though I've been playing fantasy football for I don't even remember how many years anymore. But I've never won a league I've run.
Wow.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, and a little bit. It's
never gonna happen. And I don't know why I keep creating more leagues for me not to win.
Better chances, right?
To keep losing, yeah, sure. I did do that though in one league. Dalvin Cook, his rookie year, no less. I had one guy who doesn't watch college football, so he didn't know really who Dalvin Cook was. He just like must have read one article and just like bought into whatever that one person said. I wish I could remember what I kept offering, but there was at least 3-4 firsts worth of value.
Wow,
I would have been effing mortified if he ended up, you know, hitting accept sooner or later.
Some of the best trades you that aren't the ones you don't make.
Yeah, but it was just like, just to see, like, it would have been worth it to trash a year or two of that league just to like get this guy to just stop being stupid,
right?
Because maybe he'll win and then he'll stop being stupid going forward.
Oh, maybe some guys are worth 6 firsts.
Is Saquon Barkley worth 6 firsts, Brian?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
To me.
Okay. We're going to move on. We don't really have news, but I saw this and it made me kind of happy. So I wrote it down under the news section. Chris Carson's, well, he says he'll be ready for training camp, which means if we take a little reality into it, which means he might be ready for the start of the season. And that kind of makes me happy. And I know it makes Brian happy. And I know it makes John Hogue happy. I know.
Yeah. The electric playmaker, Chris Carson.
There you go. Because I was talking, I jumped onto the Dynasty Diagnostic yesterday, and we were talking about landing spots for running backs. Pop the hood. We were talking about landing spots for running backs, you know, out of the mainstream. Okay, yeah, we know Kansas City, Tampa Bay, stuff like that. And Seattle was one of mine because, I mean, if Chris Carson's injury is as bad as we think it is, or could be, is the better phrase, Penny tearing his ACL, MCL, and whoever knows what else at the end of the season, they might not have a healthy running back coming into the year. So they may spend not bad capital on a running back. But if Chris Carson's healthy, I would much rather them spend it on places they need it and not be stupid and spend another first on a running back, because that's what I'm sure they're going to do. Okay, like I said, that's not really news. It's just something I want to talk about, and this is my damn show, so it's going to happen.
I'm trying to think of other clubs that aren't like sore thumbs for adding a running back.
My other was Arizona. Because we don't, Drake is not under contract, though he did really well. So chances are they'll sign him somehow.
Right.
But I mean, imagine one of these like speedy dudes like Travis Etienne that we're sitting here watching in Arizona. Like that would be, baller.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still think Tampa too. I still think Tampa.
Yeah. I mean,
that's obvious
though. We know they're getting a running back. And I mean, sorry,
Rojo.
You Rojo people. Sorry, J. Mike. Sorry, anyone else who, I don't know. I can't remember who else is a Rojo truther. But so you're a Cowboys fan, Matt.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not asking clearly for any insider information, because just because you're a fan doesn't mean you're personal friends with Jerry Jones. What's your feeling on the Dak Amari contract situation?
I think Dak will get paid. I think he'll end up being somewhere in the top five. I'm a little frustrated that they didn't get it done before the Wentz deal. But I don't think Jerry has a problem paying people money. Amari, I worry. There's a lot of teams out there that could use a wide receiver that have the cap space. Baltimore, it jumps out. Philly even could be a possibility. So I think ultimately he comes back, but I'm 100% sure that Dak's getting the franchise tag. And then I don't know what that leaves for Amari. I don't think it's crazy to think that they could sign Dak, Amari, and Byron Jones, because everyone keeps saying that we're going to lose Byron Jones. I think Jerry and the Cowboys are pretty good about figuring out the cap and making it fit for their guys. So we'll see. I hope that Dak contract doesn't hurt us down the line, especially after they gave Zeke a bunch of money.
Yeah, I've been riding on the idea that they're probably going to franchise Dak and use that as a way to sign Amari long term, and then next year work out the deal for Dak. Because, you know, I mean, whether he can, I don't know if Jerry's a man of his word or not, but you know, he's the kind of guy to be like, look, you know, play on the tag, I'll take care of you next year.
Right.
And I mean, I mean, Dak turned down, like, what was it, like 20-something a year?
It sounded like they were pretty close to a $30 million a year deal stuff I read.
So I don't know if he's the holdout kind of guy. I clearly know absolutely nothing about him, but
he needs to get paid. Yeah, I mean, he was a fourth-round pick, so he hasn't made a ton of money.
That's super true. That mean like that matters probably a little bit more than, like, you know, Andrew Luck resigning, the dude that, you know, made $10 million right off the bat anyway. Interesting. Because, I mean, that had so much fantasy impact.
Zeke got paid. Zeke was the fourth overall pick. Like, he made his millions already. I think Dak is due.
Anything, Brian?
I mean, I think you have to if you're the Cowboys. I mean, how are they going to let him walk and go to, you know, I don't know, some other NFC?
Is that their backup?
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you say?
Cooper Rush?
He's our backup, but he's not. I'd rather have Andy Dalton.
Yeah. I mean, Jared, I mean, think about the Cowboys too. I mean, it was Aikman for a decade. Then it was Romo for a decade. Then, you know, now it's Dak, and they, you know, I know the Cowboys haven't won recently in the playoffs, but like they're usually there and you got to be there to have a shot at it. And I think Prescott, I mean, he was the, you know, and from a fantasy perspective, I want him to stay there because, I mean, quarterback four this year. what more can you ask for there? I mean,
can he get better? Because I think he can get better than McCarthy.
Yeah, I think he can too. I think he can too.
Oh, awesome. Let's keep talking about that. What do you think about McCarthy?
I like it better than the other option. Marvin Lewis was the other option. I heard Marvin Lewis and I went, I'll take McCarthy. That's cool.
Like, I would take Brian over Marvin Lewis.
Like, well, honestly, I mean, I could probably win a couple NFL games as a coach.
With that roster, you probably could.
Just go give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott 80 times today.
If once we hit 20, we win games, right? That's how it works. Yeah.
Run the ball 20 times and you win. That's what the stats say.
I don't know why teams just don't run the ball 20 straight times to start a game if it guarantees a win.
I've read that the team that kneels the ball the most wins.
Oh. I saw a stat. Teams that score two or more points and hold their opponents to less than one, usually, I think it's like 100% of the time, win the game.
Got to write that down. I got to look that up.
We should have made this a patron-only episode for all these stats that are
so good. Such good info coming out of this podcast.
It's awesome.
Nice. So, yeah. Do you buy this McCarthy taking the year off and learning new systems and stuff like that?
I hope so. I don't think Dallas would have hired him if they didn't think the analytics stuff would work out. Everybody saw the McCarthy clip and the interview he did with Peter King. And I felt like when I heard he was interviewing with Dallas, I was like, he's going to end up in Dallas. He's going to yield some power to Jerry. He's going to get his shot on the big stage. And if he can win a Super Bowl in Dallas, I mean, he's made it. Like he's proven it. He's won two Super Bowls with two teams. The offensive weapons are there. I know some people are like, oh, well, McCarthy couldn't figure out that Aaron Jones was the best running back in Green Bay, but I get it. But no one in Green Bay's backfield was at the same level that Zeke is. Zeke's going to get fed.
Oh, man. I flipped out on Twitter last night. Aaron Jones picked up this ridiculous blitz. And I just, in all caps, I tweet out, but Aaron Jones isn't good at pass protection. Like 18 exclamation points. I'm like, no. Oh, man. I tilted so bad last night. I mean, I knew they were going to lose, but. It's,
right.
It doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't make it any easier. All right, so let's get into the main event, I think, Brian.
The main event!
The main event today is we're going to talk about orphans. Now, we are not talking about children without parents because that would just be dark for a fantasy football podcast. We are talking about dynasty teams without owners that get taken over by new owners, mostly us and you.
Right.
Yay. Okay. There was, we were talking about it before the show. He pointed out it was week 5 that Matt put out this string of tweets about this orphan he took over and trades he made to put his team in a better direction, whether it's rebuilding, like tearing it down, whether it's building it up. And I think after each tweet, like I replied with like an applause GIF, like just because the amount of moves this guy made and the moves he was making were just very good, very good. So this is just a perfect thing to talk about for a show you are on. So let's start from the very beginning. Do you prefer orphans over startups?
I have different strategies with each. I think orphans are a little more fun because you can kind of see how other guys have built their team as opposed to startups where you don't know what anybody's strategy is. I can come into a league as taking over an orphan and go, okay, this guy really likes wide receivers and this guy is more quarterback focused. And so it's a little different. But this past season, I took over like 5 orphans this past season. And I kind of did the same thing. I chronicled what I did and taking them over and just trying to provide some insight with what I do. I know some people go orphan. I don't want to take over an orphan. I'd rather be in a startup. And I think they can both be just as much fun.
Yeah, I think I'm actually more, it's funny. Like I'm more of a fan of taking over orphans, mostly because I'm not very good at drafting. So I like having in front of me just like, okay, this is what I have to work with. I can do something. I'm good at trading. I'm better at trading than drafting. So give me this pile of stuff and let me turn it into other stuff. Don't make me pick that original stuff out. I mean, in the end, it turns out the same thing. I'm like, oh man, I drafted an awful team. Let me rebuild this.
Right.
I mean, it just saves me time taking over something that someone else put together. Brian, do you have a preference between startups and orphans?
I prefer startups, but not because I would call myself an expert drafter. I mean, I usually come out of drafts not feeling real great myself, and start making moves right away. But
mostly because you'll never get an orphan with Saquon Barkley on it.
Actually, you know what's funny? I took over two teams that had Saquon Barkley on. One actually had Saquon Barkley and Pat Mahomes on.
Wow.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I don't know
what picks did they have.
I don't think they had.
I was going to say that
they had draft picks.
There's your trade off.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I like taking over orphans occasionally. I'm very selective with them. Like, I think it's hard to, you know, there's certain ones that, for example, I'm not going to join a league with a really high entry fee with a really terrible orphan. I don't have enough money to, sorry, I can't, yeah. I mean, my money spread across so many leagues as it stands anyways. But if I see like a low cost entry fee, then yeah, I'll do it because I like it. I like building from the ground up. So,
yeah. Commissioners out there, if you have a high buy-in for your league and you have just a trash orphan, you give that new owner the first at least year for free.
Yep.
Yeah, whether the rest of the owners chip in to make the pot full, or you just take percentages and break down minus one buy-in, it's the right thing to do. Let's put it that way.
Or have your guys pay a deposit for the next season, so you can offer it half off or something. You know what I mean? Some sort of discount.
I'm just so lazy when it comes to that. Like, everyone's just like, oh, if you trade away a first, you have to pay next year's, like, part of next year's buy-in. And two things about that: I don't want to have to keep track of that, and two, it stops people from trading firsts, and I don't want to stop people from trading. And that's really the only reason I do it, is because I had a few leagues where I was rebuilding, it got so difficult because I was trying to get 2020 and 2021 picks. Because we were able to trade 2 years out, and no one would trade either of them because they didn't want to pay yet. I mean, it was $50, which, right. I mean, is a decent amount of money for a league. So I kind of get it, but it was just like, come on, just trade.
I'll pay your $50 fee for now.
I don't care that much. I don't know that guy. Okay, so you enjoy taking over orphans. Do you like just taking a team, or do you enjoy dispersals?
I think I've done two dynasty dispersals. I've been in a league where I won it, and we were talking about doing a dispersal, and I was like, I think I may throw my team into this dispersal because I've already won with it, so let's see what I can do. But it didn't happen. We didn't.
That's
we
such
didn't
a baller work. Move, though. It's like, look, I could beat you people all over again. Let's just take this out.
Well, to be fair, I didn't have any draft picks, so I was like, I can get some draft picks back if I do this dispersal. So they're okay. I think I'd rather just take over. Like I took over. I'm going to say the F word, and I know dynasty players hate the F word. I took over an orphan in a free league. And it was terrible. It was awful. But I turned it around in 2 years. I think the best player I had was Tom Brady, and like the next best player I had was the San Francisco 49ers, like backup quarterback. And I just ground. I don't know what
ground.
I worked really hard, and I turned that around. I was the top. I finished 11-2 with that league. In 2 years. I remember, honestly, here's how I remember it. J Mike, before I knew J Mike, like I know J Mike now, commented on it when I posted, like, I took over this orphan, check out this, how bad this roster is. He said, you're 3 years away from being 3 years away. So it was bad. And yeah, I was the top finisher this year, had the most points for, it's just, that was kind of fun too, but it was a free league. So you assume that the team's going to be really bad in a free league.
I wish I was half as clever as J Mike, by the way. I mean, sort of unrelated, just saying. okay. So dispersals, do you know what second chance dispersals are? I guess I'll explain it anyway for people just in case they don't know. In the Trade Addicts leagues, we voted these in this year. What happens is if there is, at least the way we do it, if there is going to be a dispersal, we allow current owners to drop their team into the dispersal. The owners that will be in are kept secret. So it's a third, you email or DM a third party. So this way, you know, let's say me and Brian and I are already current owners and there's a dispersal going on. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to, you know what? Screw it. I'm going in. And he's like, yo, Russ has Barkley. I'm going into this dispersal in case I get the 101 for that.
Right.
It's just pretty much to avoid that. Like the only thing you know is that those two orphan just newly taken over teams are going to be in. There could be 11. Wait, no, that's 10 other teams also. Most likely not.
Right.
But like you don't know for sure. So that is the way the that's the way Trade Addicts leagues do it. And it's pretty much just for fun. We have the caveat isn't the right word, but you're not allowed to do consecutive dispersals. It's sort of a way to stop people from just completely trashing and starting over, trashing and starting over. But it's another fun sort of twist on the dispersal and taking over orphans. Have you been, well, you said you almost were part of that,
but not in the way you described it. I think that would be cool, not knowing who's coming in. And because I think people did that when I said I might jump in. They're like, oh, well, if you're going to jump in,
exactly.
I might jump. I like that twist on the on it. No, I've never done. I've never thrown my team into a dispersal. I've taken over a team that's part of a dispersal.
Because we had we just did them in Trade Addicts 2 and 3? No.
Maybe 4. Yeah. 2, 3. No. I think it was 4, wasn't it?
4 also, but I think... Regardless, we did it in a couple of them. And in all of those leagues, there was at least one team in every league that did not join, who absolutely should have, purely because they were afraid of no one else joining and didn't want like the other bad teams and their bad team to just still keep being bad. There's like, I got these picks. I might as well just stick with what I have. Right. Like that's the fun of not knowing who else is going to be in it. Like there's anxiety and that, you know, other people's anxiety makes me, you know, have fun, not my own. You know, both of those leagues, I tossed my teams in just for the hell of it.
And sometimes it's just fun to do.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And again, I have maybe 20 something teams at this point. And it does come down to the fact that I end up with a lot of the same players just because I value those guys higher than other people seem to, and I like them. So I, like you said, get the guys you like and the guys you want on your team.
Right.
The problem is you end up with them on all of your teams.
But that's not always bad, because in the all the leagues I won this year, I had Michael Thomas. Like sometimes it happens and it helps, and sometimes you lose with all your guys in the same league.
So it's a super easy way of shaking it up as opposed to just trading away guy by guy. You could just be like, whoop, everybody, and you can completely change what you were doing. Like if you had a team that was, you know, seventh place but making that push, you could also be like, screw that, I'm picking every rookie pick in this dispersal, because picks and players go into the pool. So I just wanted to get all of that intro stuff of dispersals, hopefully not dispersals, out of orphans, so hopefully there's a good grasp of everyone out there. You take over a team. Walk us through how you sort of evaluate what you're looking at when you get that team.
Well, I look at how quick can I turn it around? So the one we talked about earlier, it was 0-5. That wasn't going to be a quick turnaround. It had Amari and Zeke. So I was like, all right, cool. There's some Cowboys here. I mean, it is what it is. And, I just was like, well, what's my most valuable asset? And then see what I can get for it. I think I'm gonna pull up the thread here. Actually the first trade I made was nuts, but I traded Matt Breida for first. But my biggest trade was I traded Amari Cooper for 2020 first, a 2021 first, and then I took some flyers at the time on Ronald Jones and AJ Brown.
One of those worked out real well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just like, what can I get the most out of right now? And I took over an 0-5 team. I don't care. I'm going to try to add picks. I knew my main focus in that league was to add picks and add as much picks as I could. And then I kind of used the excess that I got from it to add even more picks.
Which is kind of, I'm I knew where you were leading us because it's pretty much the answer. And unless you're just the luckiest man in the world, like Brian Haar, chances are teams are abandoned for a reason.
Right.
Yeah, life happens. People have to drop out. So they'll drop out of decent teams, but usually people get annoyed with being bad and leave. So chances are you're taking over a bad team, which means if you're taking over an orphan, 99% of the time you're rebuilding. Don't be silly. Don't think, this team's okay.
Right.
Probably not. The two things you got to do, don't even look at your team, but then look at everyone else's. Like, that's the most important thing. Look at the scoring, look at the rules, you know, pull up those power rankings that I keep talking about. Try and see how you are compared to everyone else. That'll give you the slap in the face you need to realize that you just need to tear this thing down. And blank. Wow. Someone else say something. My mind just went completely gone. What are we talking about?
Taking over an orphan and looking at your team and trying to decide what you should trade away.
Matt, you're hired.
Yeah, take over my job. Oh my God, my mind just went completely blank. I was going somewhere and I don't know where it was.
I was like, all right, this is good. All right. And then nothing.
You look so concerned too. It's kind of funny. You're like, your face is like, oh my gosh,
where am I going?
No, seriously, no idea what the hell I was talking about. Okay, so through specifics is a little tough. I mean, yeah, screw it. Walk us through a couple of trades in that thread.
In the league that we're talking about. So I just told you about the Amari Cooper one. So I got Ronald Jones, AJ Brown, and some picks. And I knew my focus was to add picks. So then I went out and said, okay, who wants Ronald Jones? Who can trade me a pick for Ronald Jones? And I got a 2020 first for Ronald Jones. And then I said, okay, what else did I get from that trade that wasn't a pick? Oh, AJ Brown. Okay. Who wants AJ Brown? And what do I have on my roster I can add with AJ Brown to get more picks? So I traded AJ Brown and Damian Williams, who I think at the time was the Chiefs starter, who knows, for Robert Woods and two 2020 seconds. Then I was like, all right, I got picks there. Now I'm going to flip Robert Woods. Like, I knew what my goal was, and anything that didn't fit what I was looking for, it's on the block. Like, let's make a trade. And especially coming into taking over an orphan, like everybody goes, I think, at least when people take over an orphan's leagues I'm in, there's the new guy. Let's try to take advantage of the new guy. Like, mm-hmm. What can I get off of that guy? I'm like, you can have every player you want. Give me picks for him. So it was just excess, using the excess and just building kind of my base and then using everything that I built to build the team that I want.
So I really like that. And one of the things, I mean, the thing I like about this the most, and it certainly works and is crucial for orphans. But this is the way the dynasty mind should kind of work anyways, even if you're not, I mean, you can apply that philosophy or that idea to all of your dynasty rosters. And the idea is think ahead. Don't think of the trade you're working on right now. Think two trades ahead of that one.
Yep.
You know, what guys am I going after? What assets am I going to get back in this deal that I'm going, and then what am I going to do with them? Because a lot of people, it's like, oh, I'm going to make this trade, and then that's it. And they make the trade, and it's like, oh, nice. Well, now I have AJ Brown on my team. Well, maybe you got, yeah, what can you do with him?
Right.
How do the other guys in the league feel about AJ Brown as a player? And can you use that to your advantage to get even more value? And it's just kind of a steamroll thing. And again, it's super duper important with orphans, because if you're not thinking a couple steps ahead, it's going to be harder to get where you're trying to get.
So I made a trade and the guys were like, oh man, you got so-and-so. And I'm like, I'm not attached to him. Like, okay, you want him? Cool. Here we go. I've had him for 10 minutes.
Exactly.
I don't love the guy. What can we do? So
you haven't eaten dinner yet.
Yeah.
I see. I think that's like my favorite part of rebuilding and building an orphan, is because it gives you in the middle of the season a way to trade like it's the non-point scoring season. Like, you don't have to worry about scoring points. It's really just amassing value. And that's like, that's what we're doing right now. That's how you play right now, because you're not scoring points. So that's why it's like a nice breakup. It's just something different from what you're stuck in, because yeah, we play Dynasty. Yeah, we're supposed to care about our team 17 years from now. but we're still super swayed by what happened the week before.
Yeah,
I mean, some dude scores three touchdowns, his value is skyrocketing regardless of whether it should or shouldn't in the next 2 years.
Like Derrick Henry?
Hey, we'll bring that up later. But real quick, speaking of, I wrote this underneath everything we're talking about. If people are down on Lamar Jackson because of what just happened, in all capital letters, go get him.
Yep.
Completely related to what I was just saying, but not necessarily about orphans or anything. You know.
Okay, tangent time.
Uh-oh.
Me or you?
Me.
I'm done. All right, good. Go. I don't have anything else to say.
I was scrolling through Twitter Sunday
while we're recording.
Well, of course. But yes, of course. Are you kidding me? How do I get through these shows? That was
regaling in the wonderfulness that is my podcasting abilities.
Yes, of course. That's exactly how. Anyways, so Sunday night after the game, I'm scrolling, or Saturday night, I guess it was, after the game, I'm scrolling through Twitter. And so Saturday night into Sunday, the amount of people who it pisses me off.
Ooh.
That people root for guys to fail. That pisses me the fuck off. That's bullshit. No, you don't. Leave it in. And all of these people.
That's how you know.
Listen, all of these people that are back to Lamar Jackson can't throw, and this is why, now those 31 GMs that let him go in that first round, they can all exhale now. Bullshit. The dude is the MVP of the league. The MVP. He was the best player in the league, hands down, without question. And if you feel otherwise, you're wrong, period. He was the best player in the league this year. Best player in the league.
Easily.
He had a shitty game. And it wasn't all his fault. They dropped like 7 or 8 passes. I mean, his receivers were doing jack. So
if he threw it better, they wanted to drop it.
If he was a wide receiver, he would have caught him, right?
If you're paid $10 million to catch a football and it hits your hands, catch the football. It's ridiculous. And anyways, that's a whole nother point. But seriously,
Ryan Tannehill would have cost those passes.
Yeah, exactly. It's just put Tanny out there, you know. It's just ridiculous. And I apologize to anybody that's listening. You know that this is kind of out of character for me. But
how do you finish that with apologizing?
It just absolutely chaps my ass that people are back to. I mean, Lamar Jackson has one of the best seasons we've ever seen from a quarterback. Now, you cannot like it because it was non-traditional. Yeah. You cannot like that. I mean, that's fine. If you would rather have a guy throw for 5,000 yards or whatever, that's fine. I mean, people like what they like. It's fine. I like 4 yards in a cloud of dust and run the football and smash mouth defense and bad weather and all that stuff that nobody likes to watch on TV. I like that. It's fine. I don't have a problem with people having stylistic preferences. But to throw this kid under the bus, he's 22 years old in his first full year starting. He didn't start all year last year, right? It was like a couple games. Okay.
Right.
So first full year starting, and he's the MVP of the league. Okay. Get off his ass. Like, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous that people are back to that. Oh, Lamar Jackson sucks and he can't throw the football and he's not going to be successful. Get out of here.
Well, and if you look at it, what he did fantasy wise, he put up like 28 points. So he might have had a bad game for the NFL standards, but as a fantasy owner, if you're looking to sell, cool, I'll buy.
Yeah. And it's one game. And that's right. That's the, you know, and that goes back just to what you were saying a minute ago, Russ, is, you know, if there are people that are reacting, and there are, people react every single week when the games end. Sunday night, they get to their computer screen and start trying to trade guys or trade for guys because of what happened that Sunday, completely ignoring a whole season worth of good, you know, or bad. So it's just ridiculous. I don't know. I know that was a tangent. And again, sorry for being uncharacteristically kind of fired up and mean and cussing, but it was
Stop
awful.
Apologizing. You're allowed to be. You're human, I think. I only met you once. I don't know. All right, but since we're talking about this, so we had a couple of questions about Derrick Henry's value, and since we're talking about recency bias and all this. Let's jump into a Trade Addicts trade.
Trade Addicts trade.
Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium 1.75 points per reception with 0.05 points for return yardage. Those come into play. Okay, this is a Trade Addicts 6 trade. Now, this is a Derrick Henry trade. To me, this was, you know, everyone says sell high after, you know, people break records. I mean, pretty much, which is always a little tough to do, but it pretty much opens a door to be able to sell a guy that you weren't able to before. I think this is the latter as opposed to actually selling for a ridiculous price. But here we go. Derrick Henry, Equanimeous St. Brown, Caden Smith, a fourth and a fifth, four, David Montgomery, Austin Hooper, Andy Isabella, a 23rd and a 21-3rd. Now, if you are holding Derrick Henry right now, is this something you would be selling him for? Now, remember that Hooper, before he got hurt, was just wrecking, and especially in 1.75 tight end premium.
Yeah.
So how are your feelings on this trade, Matt?
I'd take the Montgomery Hooper side. Not that, you know, I thought I saw something that said Derrick Henry's the 102 next year in startup drafts. And it maybe was redraft.
Non-PPR? Just close, yeah. Maybe.
Well, and it's, he's a free agent. Like, are the Titans going to franchise him? Maybe, but you don't know where he ends up. I don't see him ending up anywhere better than Tennessee.
There is anywhere better than Tennessee.
So, but I'm sure I'll catch flat. I've never been a big Derrick Henry guy. I've always, as a Cowboys fan, Derrick Henry's always kind of on the brain because everybody said, well, you should have taken Jalen Ramsey at four and gotten Derrick Henry in the second round. Okay, maybe, but people forget that we got Jalen Smith in the second round, who is the captain of that defense with Van Der Esch. So maybe. I would sell high here on Henry. I know everybody likes Henry now, and he's the hot guy that's carrying his team through the playoffs, but I don't know. I'm waiting for Addison to give me the stats on why I shouldn't like Derrick Henry.
See, this is one of the reasons I hate Trade Addicts leagues, because you have these guys like Derrick Henry who literally did just break an NFL record, like the most yards in 8 straight games in NFL history or something like that. And like, you expect him to be sold for 18 firsts, but it just, he still ends up going in what is a seemingly pretty fair trade. It just, it bothers me. Like, be not as good, people. It's just... Brian, I don't think I ever saw you react to this. What do you think about this trade?
I mean, if I had Henry, I would try to get some like more, but I also don't think that the value's really that far off. You know, Matt brings up a couple really good points. He's a free agent, you know, coming off an absolutely monster season. He's also old, not old, but if you're not 23, you're old for a running back, right? So, I mean,
but he was also shelved for the first 2 years of his career.
He was.
I'm going to give the Mark Ingram argument right now.
Yeah, and that's a fair argument. That's a fair argument. I like Henry. I mean, I think if you don't like him because of the reasons that Matt kind of brought up, I think that's fine. I think if you don't think he's very good, I think you need to relook at what he did this year. I mean, he had 2 games all season where he didn't run for over 75 yards in the game, you know, and he still had, I think he had 45 yards of one and 63 the other or something like that. So, you know, he was damn good this year, and they ran that offense absolutely through him. You know, 303 carries, that's a lot of carries, you know, but also not as many as we've seen guys get in the past. So, you know, we'll just have to see what happens here moving forward with his landing spot. I think if he stays in Tennessee, I mean, I'm not drafting him at the 102 in redraft leagues, but he's probably a first round pick, right?
Okay, let's do things this way. Derrick Henry or Joe Mixon?
Oh, I love this game. Joe Mixon.
Matt?
Yeah, I'm Joe Mixon, yeah.
Derrick Henry or Leonard Fournette?
I'd take Henry.
I'd go with Fournette.
Derrick Henry or Josh Jacobs?
Henry.
I would probably take Jacobs, but it scares me because he's dealt with some injury stuff too. So that one's really close for me.
All right. So this one's just for fun and for Brian. Derrick Henry or Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones.
I thought you were going to say Saquon Barkley. So
yeah, so did I. And so did I. So did I.
I mean, I didn't want it to be that boring. okay. So I read those in order, by the way, of ADP. Joe Mixon is 7, Fournette 8, Derrick Henry 9. This is running backs, by the way. Sorry. Running back 7, Mixon, 8, Fournette, 9, Henry, Jacobs, and then Jones at 11. Derrick Henry, this is January, so it's probably like a week-ish old at this point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's going to go up from here. He was, you called him a first-round pick. He had an ADP of just about 18, which means he was mid and second guy already.
Well, in Dynasty Leagues.
In Dynasty, yeah, I'm a DLF
yeah.
ADP.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry or Nick Chubb? I didn't think you'd take that one.
Chubb.
I was going to say Chubb.
He's running back 6. I just wanted to throw one more out there just for the fun of it. So here's the real question. Superflex. This is around where we are seeing the 101s go in a lot of these mocks that like John Hoke is running right now. Let's just do it. Derrick Henry or the 101?
Joe Burrow. Are you watching this?
101.
I mean, Joe Burrow. Is the answer.
So you're fighting recency bias with recency bias?
Okay, hell yeah.
I get it.
Dude, again, though, I mean, recency as in this season, because that kid's been insane this year.
That Cincinnati and offense is set up to succeed.
I agree, man.
With a rookie quarterback.
I think, Tyler Boyd is gonna benefit from this if they do it.
Tyler Boyd, Auden Tate, John Ross. If AJ Green comes back, they need a tight end.
Mixon, I mean. Yep. This will help him too. So,
what if they go out and get Ebron?
If they get who?
Go out and get Eric Ebron.
Ooh. Come on. Can we stop strengthening the other teams?
I don't like Ebron, but it's definitely a tight end upgrade. He's not going to get hurt walking to the locker room. Eifert.
We know he hates Eifert even more.
I hate Tyler Eifert. I don't hate Tyler Eifert. I don't want anything to do with him in fantasy football.
Because yes, he can't use the word hate because then people think he's talking about Tyler Eifert the person, and we know he has nothing against Tyler Eifert the person.
Correct.
It's the fantasy asset he doesn't like.
Correct.
Because Brian's way too nice. Kind of like why he apologized at the end of cursing people off. Okay, so wait, Matt, I'm sorry. Did you answer between Henry or the 101?
I'll take the 101, yeah.
Okay, step it down. 102.
Hmm.
So we're talking if a healthy Tua or whatever running back lands in like Kansas City, pretty much, right?
Yeah, I'd probably take 102 there.
Same.
With Kansas City. If Kansas City drafts a running back early, yes, 102. 103 gets rough.
Brian?
I think I'd still take the 103.
Okay.
Tua? You gonna go?
I would take Tua or one of the running backs, whichever one I'd land on as the top one after really Lorenz digging in.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, I really like we'll have to see. I really, as it stands right now, I really really like J.K. Dobbins.
I heart J.K. Dobbins.
I really like Dobbins. I don't think he's not the guy that's gonna be flashy and be on SportsCenter all the time. He reminds me of Zeke. He's not flat. Zeke isn't flashy, but Zeke falls forward. And he gets in the end zone when he gets, they hand him the ball inside the 7, it's going in. So, and that's the type of runner I feel like J.K. Dobbins is. I don't know. I mean, talent wise, I don't know where he is exactly when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott. I know, they went to the same school, obviously. So it's, there are people compare him all the time, but that's the type of guy I see in terms of just he always falls forward, and he was going off in that semifinal too before he tweaked the ankle. I mean, he hadn't tweaked his ankle. I don't know that this game is in Ohio State instead of Clemson, but he did return, but he didn't look the same. Anyways, I really like
We talk about Kansas City being like the landing, the perfect landing spot for running backs. What's the second best?
Probably Tampa, right?
What about Pittsburgh? Like, what if Jonathan Taylor absolutely. Goes to Pittsburgh?
Yeah. What if they trade for Le'Veon
Bell? Bobbins? No.
Houston. All right, let's just change the subject before Brian starts cursing again. Houston is an awesome place because they don't know. They refuse to use Duke Johnson even though they traded for him. And Carlos Hyde is just.
Do they have a draft pick before the fourth round? It's like they traded for Tunsil. They traded for Duke Johnson. I don't know if they have a second.
They don't have a second because the second was for Duke, right? Or was it
third was for Duke.
Didn't they trade for Kenny? Wasn't Kenny Stills a trade as well?
Kenny Stills was in that Tunsil trade.
Okay. Yeah. That's right.
All right. Whatever.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to be in position to draft one of these running backs.
I said before Arizona would be awesome. Oh, man. I had something in my head and it's gone now. So we're just. Fournette might not be on the Jaguars? Question mark. I mean, to be fair, it was Coughlin. It seems like he had the biggest problem with him, but he has no guaranteed money, right? Like, they took all the guarantees out of his contract,
right?
And if they don't want to pay him in the last year of his contract, they could just get rid of him. To be fair, spend the third round pick on a running back that you know might be the same thing.
You don't trust Armstead?
I mean, I have a lot of shares, so I hope that happens. Don't get me wrong. Do I think it'll happen? No. Okay, we are going to jump into some listener questions, and then we have another trade if we feel like it. We started talking about this when we first brought up the fact that you're a Cowboys fan. At Rex Fantasy, Bobby Koch, which new head coach are you most excited about from a fantasy perspective, and why? Are there any coaches you are excited about?
If I had to pick one, I'm going to be a homer and take McCarthy. Matt Rhule wouldn't be bad. I don't know. You don't know whose quarterback's going to be. Is it going to be Cam? Is he going to take a rookie? That's kind of where I'm at with that. Judge Joe Brown in New York doesn't do a whole lot to excite me. I mean, I know you've got Saquon there. But I think offensive-minded head coach with a lot of tools and toys to play with in Dallas. I'm going to pick McCarthy.
I'm going to say two things. One of them is stealing, and one of them is just a little sideways of an answer. Okay. I was listening to Dynasty Trades HQ this afternoon, and Matt Rhule, was that his name?
Yeah.
Was the coach at Temple University when they were just complete trash, and within a few years turned them into like a 10-11 win team.
Yep.
Cause you know, Shane is from Philly, so he lives right near Temple. Apparently. I don't know. Well, you know, he goes to Temple and he lives near the University of Temple. So he knows a little bit about Matt Rhule and what he was able to do there. And then he went over to Baylor, which was a complete different team. Apparently Temple was, yeah, but it was built around the run, power running, and then he goes to Baylor, which is a lot more RPO and a lot more of a move offense, and he was able to handle both of those, which shows he's not one of those stubborn NFL coaches that are going to fit square pegs into round holes trying to get his system. He will, hopefully, I will say, adapt to what he has around him, which means I really hope this... I mean, I don't know if you can get better for Christian McCaffrey necessarily, but DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel and whatever they end up at quarterback in, please, Ian Thomas. Seriously. Yeah. Greg Olsen, you're awesome. Go to the booth with Tony Romo for Monday Night Football and just let Ian Thomas be a thing. My second answer for this is actually Ron Rivera. And it's not because I think players on his teams are necessarily going to score points this year, but I think the point of Ron Rivera being in Washington is to make the franchise not a joke anymore.
Change the culture.
Yeah, it's just like their players on that team, like you just avoid it. And until Terry McLaurin came around, when was the last Washington player you were excited about owning? I mean, Jordan Reed?
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, he's the Redskin? No, I'm not going to own that guy. Just forget it. I don't want anybody. I don't want any part of that team. I'm hoping Ron Rivera turns that around because it just widens the player pool of guys you like and actually have trade value. So that's my answer for that. So let's move on to the next question, which I thought was funny. At Beryl Joffrey wants to know, how do you get your kids interested in fantasy football? Now, this is a panel of people with young children. I think mine's the oldest at 6.
I have a 4-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, and we know Brian has a 2-year-old. So and it's funny, I tweeted out when I was watching the Seahawks game. My kids were sitting and watching with me. My daughter refused to root for the Seahawks because I was. So that's my daughter. and my son, who was rooting for the Seahawks, they kept showing the replay of the same play, and he has zero understanding of football, so he was either yaying or booing randomly, but always ended with a go Seahawks, so it was fine. So we don't know the answer to that question, but I guess the real question is try and make football seem fun and let them get like football, and then, or if they're just super nerds, just tell them it's Dungeons and Dragons with, you know, sports involved. Right. I mean,
so how did you guys get into fantasy sports?
It's funny, I got into fantasy sports before I knew what fantasy sports were. I was in elementary school and we were big hockey fans, and I forgot who it was. It was either my brother or my friend was like, let's do this playoff challenge where if a guy scores a goal, you get 2 points. He gets an assist, you get 1 point. At the end, whoever has the most. And I'm just like, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And then years go by and I'm like, fantasy hockey, what's that? I did this. And that was pretty much how I got in. And then, you know, any sports that's not football is just complicated as hell fantasy wise because I love the week to week aspect of football,
right,
as opposed to like literal weeks. It's so just more complicated not having the same amount of games per team per week. So yeah, the second I became a football fan, I'm like, no, I'm jumping into this.
Yeah, and I got in just through loving sports. I mean, I watch everything. I watch things that people, if they knew I watched, would probably judge me very harshly. but if it can be considered a sport, I normally probably have spent some time watching.
All right, we need to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Just give us one.
PBR.
What?
PBR, and not Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yeah, Pro Bull Riding.
Oh, I mean, that's not...
Awesome, dude. They light that shit on fire before they pull the groin of the bull, and it's amazing. And those dudes are animals on top of those bulls. This is bad in our community, though, because how many people do we know that are like big animal people? They might not like that. So
torture that bull before.
I won't. Let's not talk about that one anymore. I love curling. I love watching curling. I mean, NASCAR. I mean, you tell me anything that can be considered. The hardest one for me to watch is golf, because it's also the hardest one for me to play because I suck and it's frustrating and I will want to break my clubs every time I play. So when those dudes make it look so easy, it kind of makes me upset a little bit. So, but yeah.
So I asked, because that's kind of, I got into fantasy sports because of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a baseball household. I played baseball. We would watch baseball all the time. My dad was in a fantasy baseball league. And it would be like, I don't know if this answers the question, but he would go, hey, who do you like, this guy or this guy? And he's doing a draft. And I was like, oh, I like this guy better. Okay. So he picked him. I just kind of grew on that. I joined my first fantasy baseball league with my dad when I was like 13 years old. And it was a keeper-ish type thing. So I think that's how I got into fantasy sports, was doing it with my dad. And I don't think he set out to get me involved with fantasy sports with him, but just kind of being around it and sharing that his love for it and kind of something that he liked to do, I wanted to be around him and do that. So that, if that answers the question, just kind of share your passion with your kids and hopefully they'll grab it. And if not, whatever, you're still going to enjoy it.
All right, sapping is over.
Sorry.
At just Uriah FF, guys like Keyshawn Johnson, Keelan Doss, Emmanuel Hall, are they worth rostering or safe to drop to make room for rookies? I brought this up for two reasons. One, because the flyer idea sort of fits in with the rebuild. And two, to make room for rookies, teams, leagues, I should say, should be expanding teams to make room for rookies. You should not need to drop players before the rookie draft.
Correct.
That's the one message I really wanted to get into this before we start talking about specifics or talking about anything. Dropping before the rookie draft is just kind of silly because you're dropping before you have so much information that you should have. And plus, people getting dropped later is more fun for waivers as opposed to drafting Keelan Doss in the fifth instead of a rookie. Might as well get the fifth draft, you know, rookie guy drafted. And maybe you drop him to pick Keelan Doss back up. Who the hell knows? But I mean, at least it's more movement. It's more activity. In the Trade Addicts Leagues, we have taxi squads, even though there are no contracts or anything. I know taxi squads are biggest in contract leagues. Honestly, it was just because I wanted the most people rostered because that just leads to more trading when the waiver wire isn't that great. So yeah, we have a lot of roster spots. We have a lot of taxi squads. No, we have a lot of taxi squads, but we have one. So these guys are, I have Emmanuel Hall on a few taxi squads, but he's probably safe to drop. But like Keyshawn Johnson, Keelan Doss, they're rostered in probably every league I'm in. Mm-hmm. Matt, what are your feelings on not necessarily these specific guys, but you know, bottom of the roster guys, you know, what do you think you should be doing right now with them?
If so, kind of like you said, I don't like having to drop guy. You should be in a league that expands, and then it creates more action after the draft, even because then, oh, I might cut this guy, but you can have him and not have to worry about waivers and whatnot. But if you're in a situation like that, like, I'm assuming your rookies are going to be higher than the guys listed. I mean, I can't imagine keeping Keyshawn Johnson over a second round rookie. I don't know if those guys are ever going to amount to anything. I think of the three listed, I think I like Johnson the best, but that's just because it's Arizona and they drafted a bunch of rookie wide receivers. Somebody's going to fill in that hole that Fitzgerald is going to leave.
Yeah, and the real answer is it depends on your roster size. Depends on if you have a taxi squad. It depends if they really do make you drop people before the draft. Brian, you have anything to add, or are we moving on?
No, you move along.
All right. So Peter Howard at PA Howdy, or Pa Howdy, that I just like saying when I see it, had a couple of good questions over here. Devontae Freeman's value.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he didn't really put questions. He just put short sentence fragments. Devontae Freeman value is what he said. He is under contract very heavily this year. So he's going to be on the Falcons this year. Do you think he is worth anything to a dynasty team?
Is that another team that doesn't look like they need a running back that could draft a running back?
Yes.
Because I think Atlanta makes a lot of sense for one of these rookie running backs.
I don't know if it's going to be high because their defense just needs everything. And while it was nice that they addressed their offensive line last year, I think they still need to do that. But like third, fourth round, if they can get a speedy guy to sort of start now complimenting Freeman and hopefully taking more and more as time goes on.
Because didn't do a whole lot. He was given a couple opportunities and didn't do a ton.
Yeah,
he got hurt too.
Yeah, but I had so many Ito shares, and he last year, the year before, he didn't do much with what he had when Freeman kept going out. Brian, how do you feel about Devontae Freeman?
I mean, I think he still has some value, at least right now. I definitely think that the draft will be something to watch there. Like Matt said, that could be a team that's kind of under the radar as far as being in the market for a running back. You know, so just depending on how high they go and which guy they end up with there. But I mean, as it stands right now, I mean, I think I'd still be willing to pay a second for him. You know, not a high second. I don't think I'd, you know, maybe not top half second, but I would probably pay maybe a later, you know, 209, 210, 211, somewhere in that range. Start
with the 2.5 to see.
I was going to say 208. So yeah, we're right in that same range.
Yep.
All right. I mean, it makes me a little happy to still hear that 2 in front of Devontae Freeman's value, because like at this point last year, like it was getting early second, late first because of how much, well, I guess not right now, but like after the draft when they drafted two linemen, like with their first two picks, we were just like, yeah, they're gonna be running the ball. Yeah, so it's nice to see that he's still around because he is fun to watch. Just, man, that I don't know, that offense is so weird, but okay, we're not gonna dwell. This one goes to Brian. Is Juju dead now?
No.
Yeah, I know. The answer is no to that. I just wanted to say that out loud.
No.
I saw him go for the 103. I saw like somebody like
rookie pick 103?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm gonna go send out some Juju offers after we
record. Yeah, his value is pretty low.
Okay, this is the one I was excited about. Excited is absolutely the wrong word. Keenan Allen or AJ Brown in Dynasty?
It's Allen for me still.
Yep, right there with you. Keenan Allen's like the oldest 27-year-old in the league.
Yeah. I want to talk about Keenan Allen's value so bad because I have him in a lot of leagues where I don't know what to do.
Let's talk about Keenan Allen's value, Russ. That's what we're going to do right now, I know.
Is the trade still out there? I don't remember.
It is not, but I remember it.
All right, go for it. What was it?
You offered me David Montgomery and
a second?
No. It was a player. I think two. Here, hold on. I'll tell you. I think it was two.
Talk. You talk. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. So you but I count my counter. My counter was it was Montgomery and somebody, and I countered with
Keenan Allen for Josh Jacobs. My offer was David Montgomery and Marquise Brown for Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that, Matt?
Was this before the season, or was this like this week?
This was like last week.
Last week, the 10th, 3 days ago.
I like Keenan Allen.
Allen or Josh Jacobs?
In a vacuum, I'll take Keenan Allen because Tom Brady and Keenan Allen is going to be a nice connection here this next season.
We're going with that. It's wonderful.
So you want to do the deal on the air?
No.
I tried. I had to try.
No, it was a very January ADP. Josh Jacobs 18, Keenan Allen 29.
Wow. You can get him cheap, and he's. I feel like he's been devalued for years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
His spleen blew up. He tore his ACL. Everyone put that injury risk tag on him. I bought him up. I scooped him up everywhere, and he's rewarded me the last two seasons.
Yeah, I'm a very big Keenan Allen fan, but it's funny. He's the kind of guy where if I trade one away, I always end up trying to trade for one back because I like having Keenan Allen on my team. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, A, because it's going to transition into another Trade Addicts trade, and B, I started with A, to try and just answer his question, because I have no idea how to value Keenan Allen, because I think Brian and I love Keenan Allen. It is no secret. And the problem is we still value him like we love him, and everyone seems to value him like they hate him. So it's just really tough.
He's creeping up close to 28, man. Those 28-year-olds, they get the walker comes in the mail. So, I mean, you know.
Okay, and real quick before we get to this Trade Addicts trade, can dogs look up? Don't lie. Does anybody know? Can dogs look up?
What do you mean look up?
I would say they can. Oh, gosh, I don't know, though.
Is this like Peter trying to trick us or something?
So
done. While a dog is able to see something that is higher than itself, dogs can't look directly upwards with a simple motion of the head like humans can. In order for dogs to look straight up, they usually have to adjust their whole body position. And then there's a video of which I clearly can't show everyone, but they can't just do this.
Matt and I just did it. We just did it. I like go like this and come back down, and Matt's doing it too.
Yep,
that was good.
So yes, Peter, they sort of can look up, but they actually cannot physically just look up. They need to rearrange their body and neck to look up. Trade Addicts Podcast, Fantasy Football.
There it is.
Okay, so let's go back to the Trade Addicts trade. This is also Trade Addicts 6. Keenan Allen was by no means the main part of this, but value still comes into play. Sam Darnold and Keenan Allen for Kyler Murray and Tre'Quan Smith. Brian, what did you feel seeing this come across your email?
Man, that's a tough one. I mean, I think I don't want to disrespect Tre'Quan Smith, but essentially for me, it's more like Darnold and Allen for Murray.
Yep.
That's how I got it.
And I think that Keenan Allen is a good enough asset that it drives me to that side. Because, I mean, I definitely like Kyler Murray more than I like Sam Darnold, you know, as far as quarterbacks go in Superflex. But I think Keenan Allen is certainly a big enough piece to sway me to that side.
What about you, Matt?
When I first looked at it, my gut was like, yeah, the Keenan side. But then you think about it. Is Kyler the next hotshot running quarterback that can put up, that can rush for 60 yards a week and give you 6 guaranteed points on the ground? Maybe. Mm-hmm. And do you trust
Mahomes second year? It goes nuts. Lamar right. Second year. It goes nuts. Here we go. Kyler.
Do you trust Adam Gase and Sam Darnold? I mean, in a vacuum, I think it's easy to say Darnold and Allen, but roster construction.
We don't play that game here.
Of course not. I think I'm going to go with my gut and take the Darnold and Allen side, but I like Murray. I think that's fair value for him. And I think Murray could, I mean, he finished what, his QB6 this year?
Mm-hmm.
He could finish higher.
Yeah, it's funny. It's not funny at all. I don't know why I said that. After this trade went down, you know, Bill, who did this, threw into the chat. He's like, what do you think of that Murray trade that just happened? And my exact reply was, that's what you would have to do to do that upgrade from Darnold to Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this trade makes complete and utter perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And I think it's even valuing Keenan like he should be valued.
Right.
So I think this trade is exactly... You know, if you want Kyler, which he is an Arizona guy, so yes, he wants Kyler. That's what you got to do, and that's what he did. I am a Darnold fan, though. I also think the Jets are going to lose Robbie Anderson and spend good capital on a wide receiver. I see a lot of Jalen Reagor being mocked to the Jets, and that just sounds like fun, even though Gase is the worst. So, I'm staying optimistic as I can. And I do like Darnold, so I'm happy. I'd be happy with either side of this, to be fair.
Roster construction.
No. You could say you're happy with both. You could lead a preference, but you know, we don't cop out.
Doesn't matter. All right. All right.
Or you just use better, different words to cop out. Okay. At 83, Eric P., freaking TradeAddicts 4 champion, have a league that values picks like gold. What RBs would you target with 2020 firsts? Now, this goes back to like that Derrick Henry conversation we were having, mm-hmm. where we were saying we would rather take the 101, 102, 103, all of those picks over Derrick Henry. What are some running backs that you are willing to say, I will give up the 103, 104, 105 for? Do you want me to go down an ADP again to try and get you some ideas? Because that's tough. Always tough to think of off the top of your head. Derrick Henry was ahead of Josh Jacobs. So Josh Jacobs or 102. DeAndre Swift coming in or Josh Jacobs?
I'll take Swift.
Yeah, me too. Oh, well, I'll take the pick. And again, whichever running back I end up settling on there. But yeah, I'll take the pick.
So I feel like we aren't trading the top 4 picks for a running back, unless it's someone being dumb and giving you like Zeke for the 104. You know,
I mean, I would do it for Mixon.
What about a late first for Melvin Gordon?
All right, way to just jump my game right there. But
I'm sorry,
what about a late first for Melvin Gordon? No, that's exactly perfect. I mean, it's a little worrisome not knowing where he's going to go.
Right.
Yeah. But the dude's talented. It might be a little rough with the depth of this class coming in where he's going to land. But like, imagine Melvin Gordon in Tampa. How awesome would that be?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or Houston.
So, yes. No, I want someone faster than that.
Oh,
I don't have no idea how fast Melvin Gordon actually is. I'm going to be honest. I just, you know. Let's throw out some other ideas.
Would you trade a second for Austin Eckler?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you trade the 110 for Austin Eckler?
There's your sweet spot.
Are you willing to give up the chance at what? Like Cam Akers, a third quarterback?
I think
Austin Eckler, who is most likely just going to get tagged.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome.
I'll let you do your game. Sorry.
What?
I said, I'll let you do the game now. I'll let you run it.
I mean, to be fair, at one point you did take over hosting duty, so I kind of love that. Well, I like this 110 area that we're talking about. A 110 or Devin Singletary?
I would take the 110.
Yep, I'll take the pick.
112 for Devin Singletary. Is Devin Singletary worth a first? There, I said it.
No.
No, I'm not. No.
Not in this class.
Nope. Okay, cool.
That doesn't mean I don't like him. I just wouldn't pay that right
yeah,
now.
We're talking value. We know, Brian. We know.
Well, no. I'm not even saying
no, as a we person. Know.
I'm not
we
even
know.
Saying as a person. We I'm know. Saying as a player.
We know. We know.
You're insufferable.
I know. It's great, isn't it?
it is. I love it. That's why I keep coming back.
Jeff Bell worth the first?
I'd pay late.
Assuming he's still on the Jets because that dude, yeah, I mean, the coach don't want him there.
Yeah, I think he probably is. I don't know that I would pay it, but my feelings on Lev are kind of well documented. So,
okay, I think that's enough of that.
Oh, okay.
You got more?
There was one name. I'm trying to find it. Nope. I think I'm out.
Way to ruin that. Okay, so. If it comes to you, just interrupt, and we're going to end on this question from at Dynasty Benzo. I just traded my lone share of Odell Beckham for Christian Kirk and the 108 in a super flex tight end premium league. I'm in the start of a rebuild. Am I crazy? His highlights of his roster are Danny Dimes, Sam Darnold, James Conner, I'm guessing that's Miles Sanders, Joe Mixon, Juju, Mike Williams, Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, Irv Smith. That's a pretty solid core of this team.
Yeah, that roster stacked.
I mean, that's a solid young team. I don't think he's going to win anything. So I think I'm going to be honest. I like this move. Christian Kirk. I love the idea of Christian Kirk. I'm worried about the amount of mock drafts I see with Arizona taking CeeDee Lamb, which I get it makes sense to do that, but it doesn't make me happy because I want Christian Kirk to be a thing. What just happened that you're throwing your hands in the air? I'm not looking.
No, they reviewed the touchdown there for Randy Moss's son.
That's his second
yeah, one. Yeah, that's his second one. So LSU's up now 34-25, and they're kicking the point after.
Wow. Rocking. Good game.
Yeah, it is.
Weirdly, I have not been paying enough attention. So, I like the idea of Christian Kirk. I think he's awesome. He gets hurt a little bit, but I like the player. I like the fit in the system he's in. I'd be a little worried if they brought in like a dominant wide receiver, though I don't necessarily know how that would fit in the system that they're in anyway. And then at the 108, again, we talked about, I don't remember if we were during the show or not, but the player you can get at 108 is a tier one player in this draft. So while yes, Odell Beckham, I do believe is going to become Odell Beckham again. I have full faith in that. This is still two firsts for Odell Beckham to me. Christian Kirk is worth a first. At least I don't think you can get him for less. So to me, that's his value. You're making a face, which leads me to believe you disagree with me. So I am not against this idea of a trade and a rebuild. Let's put it that way. So I do not think you're crazy, Dynasty Benzo. Matt, stop making faces. And
I'm sorry. I don't think you're crazy. I think you could have got more. I don't think Christian Kirk is worth a first. I think that's where the face came in. And now I'll talk crazy. Is it crazy to think that Odell may not be back in Cleveland? Because the GM that said he wasn't going anywhere is now gone. They've got a new head coach who couldn't get Stephon Diggs targets, and that locker room did really well with that. You know, I could see Cleveland moving him. And if they move him, the grass isn't always greener, but I think he could end up somewhere better. I still
have. How great would it be to go back to Danny Dimes, right? Like,
oh yeah, totally.
And I honestly think he would do it in a second.
You think he'd go back?
I mean, he has no control.
It wasn't his choice,
right? I mean, he has no control. But I mean, could
Dave Gettleman do that?
Yes, right,
Dave Gettleman, the genius that he is.
He wouldn't do that.
We didn't trade Odell Beckham to trade Odell Beckham back.
Look, we paid less to get him back. So it was a smart move.
That would be a Gettleman move. I mean Philly makes sense, right?
Oh my God. Could you
imagine Odell in Philly?
Carson Wentz. Woo!
Stop. I love Wentz and he needs that. So that would be so good. I would love, oh man.
I hate doing that. You know, well, the guy may not be back, but I think everything in that front office changed. New head coach changed. Maybe he stays. Maybe Stefanski knows how to get the best out of two receivers. I mean, he did it in Minnesota, but I don't think it's a lock that Odell Beckham's back. And I think if he moves, his value is going to go up.
Yeah.
You think it's going to go up if he goes to another team?
Yeah. If Odell moves, I think his value is going to go. I think it'll be a reminder that like he's still Odell. And if he goes, like, for example, if he goes to Philly, okay. Yeah. I think his value rockets. And I don't know where he's at. I know he's one of my buy low candidates right now because everybody seems to be down on him. But just imagine, I know it's that's the fantasy in it is we imagine these guys in other places that, you know, they'd be so much better here or there. But I think he's a solid move option that could be going somewhere. I don't think it's a lock that he's back in Cleveland.
His ADP is 16, but he went as low as 30 in one of those mocks.
Wow. That's nuts.
That's third round, mid third.
All over that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm somewhere. I mean, I heard a couple things I like from both of you guys when you were talking through that. You know, I agree with Matt that I think if I have Odell Beckham, I'm probably trying to get a little bit more. I don't hate the move though in a rebuild. You know, I would have liked it a little bit better if that first would have been three spots closer to the top of the draft, you know, or if the player was a player where it was like, you know, nobody's arguing that he's not a first round talent. So, I do think you're right though with that too, Russ. I don't think you're getting Christian Kirk anywhere for less than a first. But he is one of those players that's kind of like borderline based on what he's done so far, you know. So, but yeah, I don't hate it. I don't love it either. I'm kind of in the middle.
Boring.
Sorry.
Okay, so that is the end of our show sheet. But before it's the end of our show, I know part of your, at least in-season show, is Renshaw's Renegades.
Yes.
Do you have any of these lower-tiered guys that you are searching for in the off-season?
I got two guys, just like Renegades, that I think got hurt that people are forgetting about. Two rookie, going to be sophomore wide receivers. First up's Preston Williams. If you can get him cheap, I mean, he was big leading the Dolphins. Yeah, he was leading the Dolphins in targets when he went down, and everybody wants to talk about Devontae Parker finally blowing up, but that was the Preston Williams show before then. And then a rookie that I think people are forgetting about, Paris Campbell in Indy. Got hurt, kind of fell by the wayside. They probably are going to bring in a quarterback upgrade or at least some competition, and I think he could. Those are guys that I'm trying to buy on the cheap right now that got hurt and I think people forgot about.
Rock and roll. Awesome. All right. So now that it actually is the end of our show, why don't you remind everyone out there who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I'm Matt Renshaw, part of the Dynasty Dads podcast on DynastyTradeCalculator.com. Stop guessing. Start calculating. You can find me at Renshaw Fantasy or at Dynasty Dads on Twitter, and we put out a weekly show, getting off-season guests lined up right now. And we just today recorded the Daddy's Awards show that should be dropping.
Good show. Good show. Everyone should check that out.
Yeah. So that's what we got.
Rock. All right. You leaned up. You want to say something, Brian?
Nope.
All right. Then I'm going to do this stuff. Our stuff. I'll get there. Put your arm down. Not yet. He just put his armpit on the microphone. I don't know disgusted. What to say anymore. I can smell it from here. Take a shower. Okay, so ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. Go buy some Trade Addicts, some Dynasty Diagnostics, some Dynasty Game Night, some Top Shelf DFF, some Superflex Super Show stuff. I dropped my laptop today, and my first reaction was, but I just bought all those stickers. Not like, oh man, my laptop's gonna break and I'm gonna have to buy a new laptop and oh no, I'm not gonna be able to record tonight. No, it was like, oh, those stickers I just bought. But yeah, no, all the stickers are awesome. So all of our stuff out of ffpodshirts.storenv.com. 10% goes to Fantasy Cares. And speaking of buying stuff where money goes to Fantasy Cares, now throw your arm up, Brian. We have our Trade Addicts wristbands, $5 each. $2 of every wristband goes to Fantasy Cares as well. Just slide up into Brian's or my DMs and we can get that set up. Finally, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. Become a member of the Cool Kids. Get to watch us record and see our pretty faces. Get to hear Brian actually drop the F-bomb 3 times, because 3 times is way too many to leave in the show. So I'm going to edit out, you know, those. So thanks for making me work, Brian.
No worries.
Also, you get I'm sure it was a pleasure. The group me chat that is just so freaking awesome.
It really is.
And I'm sure there's other stuff that I can't think of right now, but it's just fun. It's awesome. It's all the things that things should be that you want in your life right now. And since I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about, good night, Brian.
Night out, Alice.
Night, Matt.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Har FF. And follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.